If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Kalman attorney Melvin Haystack. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law with Kalman attorney Melvin Haston. Yeah, my volume's a little bit high on my headphones.
The eyeball's about to my head.
Yes, it did. As soon as I spoke, I could hear my... Wow, that was loud. Thank you. So,
you know, hey, I've never been known to be a soft-spoken guy.
Well, sometimes I can be. Hey, man, it's hot in Alabama. What's up with that? Jeez. I'm talking 100 degrees heat index. It's insane. But it is July, so... Christmas is just around the corner, so we'll be getting some snow here soon.
Yeah, I mean, really, it won't. It is crazy, I mean, and it's not just July. It's like the last part of July. So yeah, we'll be doing the Christmas countdown soon.
Huh? Oh yeah, it won't be long.
Christmas. I mean, our kids are going back to school here. What, in 2 weeks?
Yep, exactly.
Dang, I know.
It's just flew by. Time flies by.
More and more as we get older and older.
Yeah. So I've got a week booked at the beach, and I know you're going this weekend, but I've had it booked for like, I don't know, 5 months. And I'm thinking, man, it's never going to get here.
I know.
It's never going to get here, so.
But it will. It gets real fast.
Oh, yeah. And then as soon as I get to the beach, I'll blink my eye, and it'll be Sunday, time for me to come back. So, But it's good to get away for an entire week and just get away from reality. Because like you, I work way too hard. I work way too many hours, but that's who I am and that's what I do. So
yeah, but you know, when you get done, you got to come back and it's like, oh my
gosh. Start all over.
Oh,
here we go.
It's bad.
Back to the crazy train. So how's the world of law is what I want to know. Crazy busy?
Yeah, it is. And it's like, everything is cycled around. And that's what it does. You seem like, hey, we get out of a hole for a little bit, and then here it is again. And what I mean, everything's just coming up, and here's where the time flies. I got stuff set August 8th, August 14th, I'm talking about big stuff, trials and all kinds of things, and then, you get all this other stuff from cases that's fishing to come up, so it's busy. It's going to be a lot of nights at the office, ain't no doubt. Days and nights.
I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I am a little bit. Melvin, what if nobody broke the law?
I know. Maybe easier.
Who knows?
I'd go get a real job then. That's what I need, is a real job.
Exactly.
Where I can clock in and clock out.
You know, I look back on those days, and really, those were the best days. You know, I got in management in 1995, and wow, what a turn of events that puts you in. You know, there is no clocking in, clocking out. Just do your job. I mean, I deal with so many things.
What's his name? I can't remember. Pete. Pete Fountain. He's passed away a couple years ago. Good old guy. He owned Kalman Quick Copy up here. Been around forever. And anyway, he had a sign in there, and it was perfect. It said, "The only thing more overrated than childbirth is owning your own business." That hits a nail on the head, because it is tough to operate your own business, because you never, I mean, you either got money or you don't have money. There's usually no in-betweens, and it's just so much to do. There's so much you have to do to own your business, you know, and keep people satisfied and try to figure out how you're going to make it better and stay caught up with technology and then paying all this. It's a lot of money.
It is.
A whole lot of money.
And my family, you know, of course, I've been in the DJ entertainment business for 31 years, so I've been running this business. And, you know, it's good and it's bad and it's a headache and it's fun times. My family owned a trucking company here in Kalman. We owned a... what we call an oil change place down in Good Hope, but we worked on 18 wheelers. Mm-hmm. We owned a trucking company, and then my sister ran a restaurant for many years called Darlene's Diner on Main Avenue, which yes. is where Catfish and Q is at now. But you know, we've all been in the business world, my whole family. And let me tell you something. There's one thing that's a fact. You're married to your job.
Oh yeah, you are.
When you own a business, you're married to it.
If not, you won't be in business long. That's
it. I mean, you have to dedicate your whole life to it. And it's crazy. And you know, and I commend these people that thrived to be successful in a small business.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the ones that's got, you know, some of these maybe middle tiers where you got 20, 25, 30 employees. I don't see how they do it because they're not big business, but you got to make enough money to pay all these daggone people and keep them and keep help in and make sure that everything's going right. And then you got to make money too.
Right.
And then the competition, I mean, the free market deal, you always got to deal with competition and stuff. It's tough, man. It's tough. So
you always have to think beyond.
Yes.
To grab the attention of the consumers. So you know, there's so much competition out there. You're always thinking. And if you're not, you're going under.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
You know, we could be like Saban and go to work at, 4 o'clock in the morning and
exactly.
work till 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
That sounds tough, too. It would be nice getting paid $8 million a year,
oh, yeah.
but still.
$8 million. Free Ford pickup trucks and all the good stuff he gets.
I guess 1 year of working on that would be fine.
I'd
be satisfied
exactly.
and move on, I think.
Give me $8 million and I'll be eating potted meat for the next 10 years, but at least I got money to eat it with. So.
Hey, Hugh Freeze is gone at Ole Miss, isn't he?
So why did he resign for? I didn't. I mean, I read the headlines, but I don't know why he
left. I don't
even
know where he resigned. I don't know. I guess they fishing to get the hammer.
Oh.
That may have been a part of it. I don't know.
Could
that
be.
May have been part of
NCAA
it.
NCAA may be cracking down on him big time.
Yeah. I know they got in trouble, and I maybe what's the deal? I don't know. It was something. You know, everybody's making posting all this funny stuff about O.J. Simpson getting paroled or whatever.
Right.
Somebody yesterday had a picture of Ole Miss in the background, their thing, and then it showed OJ getting introduced to the new head coach.
He might be a good one.
He may be. Poor Ole Miss, man. They try. They're just it's tough to get out of the bottom, you know. And he, man, he's had some good quarterbacks, and you know they've knocked off Alabama a couple of times, and you know they beat LSU and they beat Auburn and beat some of these good teams, but they just couldn't ever get over that hump to really take them where they needed to go. So
I think it'll be interesting this year because I hear Auburn has got a good team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Texas A&M, I've heard that they've got some decent players. And, I mean, you've always got a few select players in every college there is in America. But, you know, you really can't depend on that when them one or two guys. I mean, it's a team effort every time you go on the field. So, but, of course, Alabama is stacked again. But then again, they were stacked last year and they didn't win a national title.
They didn't finish it out. Yeah. And I'm sure they've heard about finishing. That's probably
they've heard that every day since then, since that last game.
Yes,
but you know, I mean, football is all about money.
Oh.
You know, and that's just the way it is. It's a business, and we don't have to go through that rah-rah about players getting paid and stuff like that. You know, because you know, I have different thoughts on it. I mean, look, I think I think you should give these kids something.
Mm-hmm.
You're making, I don't know what, 200, 300, 400 million, 500 million a year off these kids.
Yeah.
So heck yeah, man, buy them kids a car or something. That's the way I look at it. Then they'd be breaking the law.
Yes.
Then they'd call Melvin Hastings.
But you know, I also see the other side of the story, and I hear people say it, and I never did. I didn't appreciate it, I guess, as much as I should, but the paying for college is a big deal. They don't realize that. That is a big deal. But and the reason I know is me and my wife's going through it right now, and college is expensive.
It is.
I mean, it is a lot of money. You're talking about a 4-year, you know, a good, respectable school like that, you spending $30,000, you know, a year. And I mean, I know these kids are having to work, but, Lord, if you're getting $120,000 worth of college paid for, and then, you know, and – some of them, if they're red shirt or whatever else, I guess they get, I don't know if they get some of their fifth year paid for, you know, for going on to a master's or something, but, you know, they're working, they got name recognition, even if they don't get into NFL or whatever else, there's probably a lot of good jobs for them out there, and they leave scot-free, and I don't know what else, what other little benefits they get while they're in school.
Well, they definitely need something.
Yeah.
I mean, making all this money.
Yeah.
So really, let's get to the law. So I think one of the things I want to touch on tonight is about evictions, eviction notices. And, you know, because I think a lot of people out there that, you know, that could be getting in the business of doing rentals, unless they've been in the business and or know the business a little bit, boy, well, let me tell you, here we go. So back in the early 90s, I had a house in Jones Chapel area that I was renting out. And, well, you know my luck. I get bad renters every time. So here I am going through an eviction notice, and that literally took me 3 to 4 months to get them out of my house.
Yes.
And, you know, because back then when I spoke to an attorney, you know, they said, hey, look, the family can say that one of the kids is sick. And mm-hmm. So that takes a little time and this and that. And I'm like, hey, look, they're living rent-free.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making the payment. And I'm the one getting screwed over.
It is a frustrating business. The thing about it, I don't even know. I mean, I deal with it a little bit. You can't make any money off of it. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people that owns these rental houses and stuff like that, they don't necessarily have hundreds or thousands of dollars to spend out in lawyer's fees on doing this stuff. You know, and So it's not big money in it. You know, I think most of these lawyers are in here, we probably handle stuff probably for our clients more than we do for general public, because it's just not any money in it.
Right.
You know, actually, it's kind of funny because I had someone today come in and talk to me about it. And this person's, because I've dealt with people on both sides. I've had people come in and say, hey, just like, you know, like you, I own this house or own this mobile home or something, and I want, these people won't pay. They haven't paid. I've done as much as I can for them. You know, it's costing me money. I've got to get them out. So, you know, I tell them, I got a little form letter. I say, here's a little letter. We've got to give them this 10-day notice. You know, we'll mail it to them, certified mail it to them, you know, so they'll get it. If they don't, if they refuse it or something, we'll just go put it on the door. As long as they get it in their hand, you know, we show that it was delivered to them. And then you go file, it's called an unlawful detainer. It's not, you know, if you go to courthouse or go to clerk's office, ask for an eviction, they'll say an unlawful detainer. That's what it's called. So you file it, and the judge sets it relatively soon, but it's a 2 or 3 month process to get them out, you know, and then you just got to make sure when you file the things that you request to get the money, you know, the back rent that's due. But here's a, like, I explained the issue this person come in and talked to me about, and then here's a lot of things that are important that I ask. So she comes in and says, hey, I had this landlord that took all my stuff out of this place that I rented and either destroyed it or sold it or did something with it. So I want to get my stuff back. So I was like, all right, so did you have a lease? She said, no. And she already knew. She said, no, it was a month-to-month rent. So I was like, well, you know, if you had a lease, inside that lease, you know, whether it's a 6 months or 1 year lease or whatever else, I said, you know, it's going to tell you a lot of things. It should tell you a lot of things that you, it's a contract. You know, you look at it, look at the terms of it. I said, otherwise, you're right. It's a month to month rent. If you pay, you're fine. If you don't pay, you get kicked out. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? And there's, it's good and it's bad. You know, you don't have a long term security in it, but if you want to break it, all you got to do is give a notice and get out. But as I delve further into what she was saying, unfortunately, she had some unfortunate circumstances. She missed a court date, sit in jail for a while. During this time, she wasn't paying. And so this landlord let somebody else move in. So I was like, how are you going to prove that the landlord's got your stuff? She says, well, I think the people that was in there did some of it. I was like, okay, so here we're going to file, you're wanting some help if you file a lawsuit. I said, you got to understand legally before you spend money, which she unfortunately didn't have any
right.
money. I said, but before you spend money, you're going to have to prove who got your property, who disposed your property. I said, if you sue this guy saying, hey, he took my property, but he didn't do it, how are you going to prove that he
exactly.
did?
Exactly.
You know, I said, you know, you're going to try your case in front of a judge. The judge is going to require you to have some kind of proof, number one, of what property you're saying was was taken, because he's probably going to say it's not there, it wasn't there, somebody broke in the house. Right. And she ended up saying, well, somebody did break in the house. I'm like, there we go. I said, I know you came and want me to tell you, oh, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to get all your property back. I said, you're going to have to tell me who took your property. I said, who are these people that moved in? She says, I don't know. And then she come back later and says, well, I think the girl's name was Josie. I said, so where should Josie live? She says, I don't know. So I'm like, well, we don't know who we're suing. We don't know how we're going to prove it. We don't even know where these people live at. And I said, you're going to spend this money trying to get this stuff back. I said, how are you going to get this? How are we going to get anywhere? I said, you're going to have to have some. She said, well, I've got pictures of some of the stuff that I had in there. I said, well, who got that you got pictures of? She says, I don't know. So it's a,
wow.
So it's a tough deal. And, you know, we have dealt with cases. I usually letters, and usually we have to negotiate out, and people just say, hey, I don't know what happened to it. But I told her, I said, you're going to file a lawsuit for conversion. That's what we call it. A theft. Because she done had the police out there, and they said, look, that's a civil matter. We ain't going to investigate it as a criminal matter. You're just going to have to go through civil court to figure it out. So I said, well, the civil matter that you sue them for is conversion. You're saying, hey, these people's got my property, and they converted my property to their own use, and my property is valued at this. I said, but it still requires you, it's a jury, I mean, it's not a jury trial. I don't think you can make it a jury trial. It's probably just going to be a judge trial. It may be a jury trial, but you got to have at least $10,000 worth of damage to do it. So, you know, none of this is going to apply. I said, you're going to have to convince a district judge, that you had this property, that you had this, that there was this value of property, a certain value, and that this person took it. And I said, we ain't going to be able to go anywhere with any of that stuff.
Wow. Very interesting. So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and talk about this.
You may hit 6:20 already.
And look, man, go back. Look, you're over there talking about football, and time just flies, don't it? You can give us a call at 256-737-9505 if you have a legal question. This is Big D with Melvin Haston, Coleman Attorney, on Understanding the Law. We'll be back in just a moment.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Live 95. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
With Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. You know, Melvin, there's just so much I can talk about, man. It's just
there's a lot.
And I hate to just throw anything at you and you not know about it.
You love it.
I do. But let me just throw this in. and this is totally off subject, and I know you hate that, but so the other day I see on Facebook, human trafficking, 10 dead, I don't know, 20, 30 going to the hospital. They're in an 18-wheeler van, you know, trailer. There was one small hole in the trailer that everybody was sticking their mouth up to, sucking air in, and that was it.
I guess these people come from Mexico, probably.
I don't know, but they said on Walmart camera that they seen several vehicles pull up to the trailer and pick people up and take off with them. So evidently they were being sold. I don't know, was it San Antonio or Houston somewhere? I forgot where it was at now. But anyway, so they were buying these people. You know, I mean, this was true human trafficking. And then they had so many dead already in there, which were all males, I believe. It was all men. But wow, I mean, just to know that size human trafficking coming in all these cities by the 18-wheeler loads, you know. How many people are in some of these trailers that we don't even know about?
I know.
You know, and Americans are buying them, I assume, because you know, they were being picked up.
Ain't that crazy?
It is.
I haven't read it because I haven't been presented with a case of it. And there may, for some reason, I almost want to think there was at one time where there may have been a pending case of human trafficking in Coleman. You just don't see it, but there is a state law about it. I couldn't even tell you what the law says, but I mean, it'd be a felony because it would require some type of a kidnapping. You know what I'm saying? Holding them against their will. And then you're selling a person. I mean, if selling drugs a Class B felony, surely selling a person it's a Class A felony.
Look, if I'm on that trailer and I live and I get off that trailer, ain't nobody buying me.
Yeah.
Because I'm fixing to punch somebody.
I'm going to have a fight.
Nobody's going to buy me. That's just it.
You know, you see these. There are movies. Well, Taken. And that, yeah, Taken movies with Liam Nelson. That's about human trafficking. And you hear all this, you know, this Natalie Holloway stuff come out. You know, they're saying that's what happened to her. And then, man, these guys, these big rich guys over in China or Saudi Arabia, whatever else, buying kids.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, it's apparently it's true. I mean, because that's. And did these people come from across the border? You know, where did they come from? Did they? I mean, how did they even get here? It's nuts. I mean, these people could have been. It'd been nice to. I should have read the story more. You know, was they stuck in a. Did they drive them across the border? Did these people, were they on one of these trailers that come with ships or rail somewhere? Right. You know, were they shipped from somewhere and rode
exactly.
the ocean?
You never know.
I know.
So we sit here and we're doing a radio show. And there's so much going on right now. Just as we sit here and talk. It's unbelievable. All throughout the world.
Hey, let me tell you an interesting case. I'm trying to think. Matt Gentry may have been one who told me about this, and it may have been a local stop, like in Birmingham. Seemed like it was because Atlanta is supposedly a big hub for like drugs going out. They have these different central locations, so stuff's getting from Texas to Atlanta, and then it gets distributed out to other people. Drugs, anyway. This I want to say he was a state trooper. It may have been a county cop had pulled over a diesel truck for some reason. And just walking, I mean, he looked the truck, and he has some suspicions anyway, suspicions of some sort. But he looked at the truck over, and he just noticed there's something different about it. He kept on thinking, man, what's the deal with this truck? It's something different. And then he noticed at the front of it that there had been some work done on it. And then I think he ended up, I don't know if he measured it or what he did, but you know, like a standard truck, I think it's like 53 foot long. This thing was 56 foot long. So he's like, oh, wait a minute now. Yeah. So as they got there investigating, these people's getting pretty smart. So what they did is they took a regular size 53 foot trailer and then they put a 3 foot piece section on the front. Well, within that 3 foot piece of section was like $2 million worth of methamphetamine, marijuana, and everything else. So he just noticed something different, and that led to this, you know, him really looking into the situation, and they found all this daggum, found 3 more foot of that trailer that they didn't have access to, and then found all that dope.
Jeez.
Yeah. So they do all kinds of stuff, you know. And the thing about it is, with these big drug traffickers and stuff, they'll learn something from somebody. So somebody else probably heard that story, so they're doing it too.
Right,
they're
going
to
exactly.
get caught because that story's got out to all the police yep. officers in their training. Like, hey, yep. you got to pay attention to things like this. They used to hide them somewhere inside the vehicle. I can't remember where it was, up under the hood. This all different places they start hiding this dope, and then everybody thinks it's a good idea, and then somebody will figure it out. But they're pretty intuitive about it.
So whether we're getting busted with large amounts, $10,000, $100,000, $1 million, versus to some kid in Coleman getting caught with an ounce of weed. So tell me how that goes. Or
the amounts, drug trafficking is a class A, and that gets you a lot more trouble. And that's dealing with amounts of drug. I had another situation. Somebody come in and talk to me that was she is an 18-year-old, and they got a marijuana case, just a simple marijuana case. He just had a little bit of marijuana, but regardless, got a marijuana case. So this person was kind of in a dilemma because this person's concerned about their future. You know, our employer's going to be able to find
right,
it.
Right.
If you try to go to school, get different programs, they're going to find this or whatever else. So I told the person, I said, well, the good thing is, you know, unless you've been in a lot of trouble before, but, you know, you're going to be in district court, and most of the time, it's a misdemeanor case. The district court judges all around, you know, our two here in Coleman and all of them around, they understand kids make mistakes. They see kids making mistakes all the time, and they're going to let you be a youthful offender. Or let you treat you as a youthful offender. So it's going to be hidden from the record, the conviction. I said, if you plead guilty to it, you know what I'm saying? I said, unfortunately, if you want the case dismissed, we're going to have to figure out a way to get it dismissed. I said, because let's say we go to the prosecutor and prosecutor says, all right, I'll dismiss the case. So the case gets dismissed. It will still show up on arrest records that this person was arrested. And if you go to Alicort, which is the system set up in Alabama of the electronic filing, if you go type in this person's name or anybody's name, it's going to show up that there's a case. I mean, it's going to show it's dismissed. So as crazy as this sounds, I told this person, I said, really, you're better off not getting the case dismissed. You're better off pleading guilty to it, get treated as a youthful offender, because when you're treated as a youthful offender, the judge will enter an order to making the case confidential. And I said, it'll be taken off of Alicort. So when somebody searches Alicort, like these job sites, whenever they're doing applications and background checks, they have an application, Alicort. They type in your name, and they get all the, you know, what kind of cases you've ever had. If you've had cases in, like, any kind of county court, any kind of state court, it won't show up for city courts. But if you have anything like that, I said, it'll show up. Your name's going to show up, whether it's traffic tickets or divorces or lawsuits, whatever else. They're going to have access to any information they want. I told this person, I said, so if your case is dismissed, they're going to see that you got arrested for it. That may affect you some. I said, so in your situation, you're better off probably not getting it dismissed, plead guilty as a youthful offender, pay your fine, do whatever you have to. And I said, and that's really not going to have a major effect on you. I said, unless later on in life you get in trouble. If you get in trouble later on and get, you know, I said, the only people that has access to it are judges and probation officers. I said, so later on in life, if you get in trouble again, and then you're applying for probation or judges trying to determine, let's say this person gets in trouble before they're 21 again. Well, they can, as long as you're under the age of 21 when a crime is committed, then you can still apply to be a youthful offender. Now, the judge is totally 100% up to the judge. Judge, you know, they can say, hey, you've had one chance, I'm not going to give you another chance. Most of these judges right here understands, unless a person just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, you know, they may give them two or three or four different opportunities. You know, it depends on the type of crimes that they're charged with. But at some point, your luck runs out, and then you're treated like an adult, and it's all out for the world to see.
So at what point is, I guess, the amount that you get caught with is going to be a misdemeanor up to a felony?
Well, the other thing I had to do right fast when this person come talk to me, I said, let me go check and see what they've done with the marijuana. I thought that they changed the marijuana laws. Apparently they did. I know they talked about it. It had come up a discussion in the legislature to make marijuana possession, I'm talking about just a simple joint or just a little bit of marijuana, a violation, not a misdemeanor. So an example of a violation is harassing communications.
Okay.
Is that, let me think if that's right. Yeah, I think that's right. Harassing communications is a violation. Any type of traffic, like a speeding ticket, is a simple speeding ticket is a violation. A violation can get you up to 30 days in jail and that's it. But it's not a misdemeanor and it's not a felony.
Gotcha.
So they were going to make the marijuana possession like that, but I guess everybody followed it and they decided not to do it. So it's still a misdemeanor possession. They may have changed the marijuana first, which is a felony law. They may have changed it. I haven't handled one of those cases in the last 2 or 3 years to have to look at the law on it. It used to be, it was a felony marijuana possession if you had it for other than personal use, which means you were selling it. An example of that, somebody goes to a house and they find a big old bowl full of marijuana, which some people probably, that is personal use for some of them. But anyway, they find a significant amount of marijuana. They find plants there. They find packaging stuff, they find scales there and all that stuff. And they say, yeah, you got an operation where you're selling marijuana. So that was a felony marijuana thing. Or if you got a prior, you could get one misdemeanor marijuana, your second one was considered a felony. So if you've been convicted of a prior one, the second one was automatically a felony. Now, that's what I've always... Personally, I've had a beef with, because I don't care what they say. I don't know how many, but there are. There's probably hundreds. I don't know if there's thousands. There's probably hundreds of people in prison now because at some point they got a second marijuana possession, not selling marijuana, but because they got a second marijuana possession, they was treated like a felony. That felony counts against them. And maybe they had a trouble before, whatever else, and that felony put them in prison, and they having to serve 2 or 3 or 4 years for stinking marijuana possession. Wow. You know, I didn't like that law. They may have changed it. They may have made it where it's not automatically a marijuana possession when it's second. But you know, a marijuana possession, they did change this law. This was good. It used to be on the laws that you lost your license. So, you know, if they had a... somebody got busted marijuana, not only would you have to spend all the money and go through court referral and do drug tests, and you got a marijuana possession on your record, you also had lost your license for 6 months. So a first time DUI, which is probably a lot more serious, you know, somebody getting injured, lose your license for 3 months, for 90 days, but you could get a marijuana possession, and it didn't have to be in a vehicle. You could be at your house, get a marijuana position, and even if it wasn't involved in a car, you still lost your license for 6 months, which didn't make any sense to me. I know that they say, hey, we're trying to deter crime and all that stuff, and I mean that's true. I know people shouldn't be smoking marijuana. I don't believe in doing it. I don't know that it has good health reasons, but anyway, it is something that's real controversial. You know, there's a lot of states that's passing laws that's making it legal and putting people in prison for something like that, I just don't know. That's just kind of crazy.
And that's something that I was just about to say. I am anti-drugs.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
That's me. That's my stand on drugs. Anti. But, you know, as I look at marijuana and as I look at other things now that's going on in the world drug-wise, really?
Yes.
And you're going to yell at somebody over a joint?
Hey,
I just don't get it now.
Hey, and I'm going to tell you this, and I know it personally because I know someone that it helped. I personally know someone that it helped. It helps in certain situations. There are some people that does it because they need it it helps fix them. That they, you know, they've got the studies on the marijuana oils for kids with these seizures and stuff. I know people, the person I knew had, had cancer, and it is the only thing. The, I don't care, you could load them up with medicine, you can do anything else. The only thing that would help him not hurt is a smoke a joint.
Yeah, because, I mean, it eases yes. you, relaxes yes. you. And boy, am I going to catch something for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. God made that plant for some reason.
I know.
So.
I know.
You know?
And that's the way that's, I don't know. It's a tough thing. You know, at one time we had this, before our days, there's this fight about alcohol. You know, I'm sure at some point there may have been some issues about cigarettes. I don't know. But, you know, alcohol was a big deal and it was illegal and it was horrible and all this stuff. And we had all these laws passed and look how much crime it caused and, then I guess they finally come back and decided, well, maybe it ain't as bad. And that may be the issue with marijuana.
Could be. But I guess back in the 40s, 50s, whatever, when they were hauling moonshine and so yes. illegal. And now we go to marijuana in the 60s. And then you probably hit Quaaludes like in the 70s and 80s. Yeah. and now it just gets worse. Yes. I mean, it's horrible for any of these kids and or grown adults to go out here and hit this meth and this other crap that they're putting in their bodies.
You know, and if the marijuana fixes them, then that's good. But, you know, the other thing, and I don't know, I just know what I've been told, they claim that the synthetic marijuana is a lot more harmful than the right. marijuana, you know, and they do the synthetic marijuana because marijuana is not legal. And synthetic, I mean, in the states that don't have marijuana legalized, there's a lot of states it's legal to own the synthetic stuff.
Have you ever seen a skinny pot smoker?
No, I don't think I've ever seen one either.
They're always at Burger King or 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they're eating. I don't know. That's a tough deal, but, you know, that I hope I'm able to. This person's never been in trouble before, and unfortunately, they got in a little bit of trouble. But you know, I don't know. There's some people out there that says, "Hey, they need, you know, they should have done the crime, need to pay the price." Well, hey, you know what? You was 18 years old sometime too. Whoever's staying there,
yeah, exactly.
You was 18,
exactly.
And I guarantee you, commit crimes every day. If you're driving 56 in a 55 zone, you're committing a crime.
Exactly.
You ain't getting caught, but you're committing a crime.
And there's been so many times, even today, you know, I look and say, what's wrong with that kid right there? Really?
Yes.
And then I start thinking, oh my, I did the same thing when I was a kid,
yes.
So I need to shut up.
Yeah. So I'm hope I'm able to help this person out. You know, I thought, you know, if it may be what we can do, there's an option, something that's called the administrative docket. A lot of time is what it's things we do with cases, which means you don't come back to court and everything else. They'll put it out for 3 months, 6 months, or a year, and they'll say, all right, as long as this person don't get in any trouble anymore, then we can dismiss this case. And something like for instance, let me tell people about this. There's something that's called a drug court. And what drug court does is it's a way where you can plead guilty now, do things, you have an opportunity over the next year to do what you're supposed to do, and if you don't get in any trouble, you go through this whole process. You already plead guilty, but the judge don't accept your guilty plea. If you do everything you're supposed to, he sets aside whatever you plead guilty and your case gets totally dismissed.
Wow.
If you don't do what you're supposed to, then you go to prison. Right. But we can discuss that, right. I think, and you take a break.
That's
I'll
fine.
Discuss it a little bit
yep.
further afterwards.
So we'll be back in just a moment with Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. You're listening to Understanding the Law on Live 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Live 95. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with the Coleman attorney, Melvin Hastings. So we were on the marijuana stint going along. And yeah, it's fun to talk about, okay?
Get some emails and some responses talking.
So look, and as much as I enjoy talking to you, Melvin, and because sometimes I really don't care for phone calls,
yeah,
just because I enjoy talking to you. But, you know, if we ever started taking a poll about who wants to legalize marijuana in Coleman, I guarantee you that phone would be blowing up right now.
Oh, it would. it would. For and against, it'd be bad. But, you know, so we're talking about drug court. And a drug court program, and I think all the circuits, I don't know how many circuits we got. It's not as many counties as we've got. There's probably 40 or 50 different circuits, because there's some of them, like for instance, Winston County and Marion County is one circuit. You know, some of these other counties, there's one county, one circuit's got like three or four counties, and it's just one circuit, and that one circuit judge handles them three or four counties, but the population's real low.
Right.
You know, it goes by population. But anyway, all the circuits, I think, have drug court programs where they allow someone, it should... And most time it is. It should be the first time offender or whatever else. It's an opportunity to go. It's a real intense program. I mean, it's like really intense. Like in Coleman, you meet twice a month. You go up here and get to sit with Judge Cheney on every other Tuesday. And he knows everything about your life. And you're going to discuss everything with him. And you know, it's a group of people. You're subject to drug screen 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, holidays, you know, and these poor, some of these people, I know they think, hey, it's Christmas or it's Thanksgiving.
Right.
Ain't nobody gonna be up there. So about, you know, 11 o'clock at night, they'll get that dreaded phone call. They're calling and be like, your calendar's ready.
Yes.
You need to come do your drug test.
Yes.
Well, they're dying because they messed up, took a chance. But you know, they give sanctions. They don't just throw people in prison when they mess up. They give them three or four different opportunities, but at some point, you know, you sit in jail for 48 hours, and you sit in jail for a week, and then he'll put you in jail for 30 days, and then he, you know, at some point he thinks, you know, I haven't got your attention. I'm going to kick you out of the program. I'm going to put somebody in here that's going to appreciate it. But this drug court program is good the way it's set up, because like I said, it's got its good and its bads. You get an opportunity to get your case done. They really make it intensive for you. You're always subject to drug screens. You've got classes you got to do. You got to go in and meet with your court referral officer. And you got to meet with the judge often. And like I said, he knows your case. He knows all about you and keeps up with you. So it's real intense. But the benefit is that your case is dismissed at the end. It's like it never happened. Now, it will still show up on the... On Alicord, as you've been arrested for it, the only way you can get that wiped out is go through the expungement process. But at least your case got dismissed. You've not ever been convicted of it. That really the only bad about it. I mean, it does cost you some money, and some people that's tough. But the only really bad about it is when you sign up for drug courts, you're admitting, I mean, you're saying, hey, if I mess up, I go to prison.
Right.
You know, and well, they just did, Judge Cheney did drug court pleas, yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And, you know, that's what he tells everybody. He says, look, if you, you know, you can probably go plead guilty and have probation and it'd be a lot easier on you. And, you know, as long as you don't mess up, you're fine. If you're in this program and you don't do what you're supposed to, he says, you mess up, you go to prison. So that's just it. So it's tough. So let me get back. I know we skipped around. So I'm going back to this juvenile case because I really want to help this person out. Give him an opportunity to get this behind him and move on. So I told him, I said, look, you know, we may can go to the judge and do something where it's like a drug court type administrative docket plea, or where he can go ahead and the judge can go ahead and make it adjudicate you as a youthful offender, not sentence you, withhold your sentencing. You almost kind of like in a guilty plea, withhold your sentencing. You don't get in any trouble. You know, you pass some drug screens and everything else. And you don't get any trouble, and then after 3 months, 6 months, whatever else, then they could dismiss your case. But once they adjudicate you as a youthful offender, once they do the youthful offender thing, then it takes it off the record. Yeah. So you have an opportunity to get it taken off your record and having it dismissed too. So we just have to see if the prosecutor and everybody buying on it. Maybe they will.
I hope so.
Yeah, for this person's sake.
So can I go on another rant if you don't care?
Yes.
Here we go. And look, I can't help. I have such strong opinions. And when I state my opinions, I don't really care if anybody agrees with me or not, okay? That's just me, and that's just who I am. I just don't care because what I think is what I think. So this is here's my rant about marijuana. Okay, so, you know, people's going to be yelling. People's going to be screaming about legalizing marijuana, doing this, doing that. But here's something that I don't understand. Maybe don't agree with, but I understand why they do it. So look, Melvin, I better not catch you smoking a joint, okay? But look, if you got a problem, I want to send you up here to the methadone clinic and let you get your little drink, you know, on day. Well, what's that drink going to do to you? That methadone, yes. Is it going to get you high?
Yes.
Well, there you go. So there's my point. So it just ticks me off to no end. How everybody talks about this drug, that drug, but yet we can go to the local methadone clinic and get your fix. That just drives me freaking yep. insane. And I know people work there, they need a job, whatever. It still don't matter. They're still giving them a drug.
They are, and you know, and it's a substitute for opiates. It's really a form of heroin. That's what methadone is. It's kind of like a form of heroin. Type deal, because that's where I believe that's where it came from, is when heroin was big, which is coming back again. Somebody came up with methadone, and some drug manufacturer came up with methadone as a substitute for it. So these people would get, they go to methadone and help them with their withdrawal and stuff of coming off of heroin. But you know, they do it with pain pills and everything else. But yeah, they are, and I imagine it's probably just as bad.
I had kin folks that went to the clinic every day, and I'm like, and they come home, now they're kind of mellow and they're high, but I'm like, you know, I think my tax dollars just got him high.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand that, but whatever.
It is better for people to make good decisions and not get in that shape, because I do.
There you go.
And here I go again. Because, and I won't, you know, I know there's people that agree with everything I say, or probably none of what I say, but there is two sides of the story. And if you really get to know a lot, and I'm not going to say most of them, a lot of the people, like the criminal people that I deal with, I'm not going to say you feel sorry for them, but you will kind of understand a little bit. You have a little bit of understanding how they got or why they got in their situation.
I understand that. But I'm talking about in general for the government, yes, to come in and say, we're going to do this and it's going to be legal, but yet I'm going to crap about everything else.
And in the end, here's the thing. Do they have any studies to show that it works? You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay, and when did these people come off? I don't know these answers. When did these people come off methadone? Is it something hell they do from right now?
Oh, I bet they're on it from now on.
You know, and you know, how much money do they spend on it? You know, and let's go back. Who makes the who manufactures methadone? The drug places,
drug companies,
the drug companies. I'm talking about that helps pay the legislatures and everybody else to make it, keep it legal.
There you go.
Because I'm sure if a major drug manufacturer that had like billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, and all of these Congress was afraid of that they would spend money beating them, and if right. that drug manufacturer came up with this study and said methamphetamine is really not that bad, and we've got this pill that helps out yeah. with it and everything, I think the Congress would probably take a second look at making methamphetamine a scheduled narcotic. They'd probably say, "Hey, it ain't really that bad. We was mistaken." Right. So. Yeah.
You know, I wonder how many people defriend me on Facebook every week after they hear the show.
Hey, I don't know what. Man, you know,
my strong
listen,
opinions.
I'm gonna tell you, and like I said, I still catch myself prejudging cases and things that goes on, but you really need to see, you really need to see both sides of the story, and you never will get both sides of the story. You never will.
No.
Not in the news and not anything like that. You won't never hear the two sides of the story.
So drugs just make the world go round. And drugs, there's so much money in it.
Okay, you think about line. This. And somebody brought this out one time, and I wish they'd really talk about the monetary stuff. Well, we're going to lose a lot of friends. A lot of people's going to hate us, not like yes. us. But listen, y'all, everybody needs to think. Let's say that all the drugs went away, bam, that fast. Like tomorrow, we woke up and there's no drugs, everybody's not doing it, and it's all gone.
Yep.
Look how many jobs are affected. I mean, exactly. Essentially, the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, gone. I mean, they're still going to do stuff, but they're gone. They're yep. essentially gone. How many cops are gone? How many jails and detention centers are shutting down because they don't have people to put in there? The federal government's not putting money in there. How many lawyers are out of work? You know, how many judges, really, how many judges lose their job? How many prosecutors lose their job? How many court referral programs and stuff that's in rehabs and all that stuff, how much of that just goes away? I mean, it is a big multi-billion dollar industry, and I mean, it's not good. I'm not saying it's good in no way, form, or fashion. I don't do it, and I'm glad I'm not ever got addicted in that stuff or tried. I ain't even tried any of this stuff. I mean, I've smoked marijuana, but I ain't done anything else. And I didn't even like it.
That's me. Well, when I was a teenager, yes. I smoked marijuana once or twice, and that's the only thing I've ever done. And I never had any want to do anything else.
Well, and it's good. I see people, and I've talked to people that says, man, you know, I wish I ain't never tried it. I tried it, and I just can't get off of it. It fixes me. It does what it needs. And that's why I always kind of defend people a little bit. I said, look, you got to understand there are bad people. There are bad people that just want to do drugs, get high, and be stoned. There are stoners out there, there's no doubt. But there are people that it does fix. I promise you. I've talked to them. I've seen them. And I do feel sorry for them because, as I said before, it's no different than drinking. It's no different smoking, getting to be a drunk, or getting to be addicted to cigarettes. They're addicted to drugs. I mean, it fixes them. And we do need to help them, you know, and it's a, it like I said, it's a there's a lot of jobs if they quit. So I know the government says, hey, we got to do this, and we're going to fight drug trade and all that stuff.
No,
and they do. They do a little bit. They put on a show, and they do a little bit, but they can't. You can't.
Well, let me tell you something. I think I would be the first one to get fired if I ever worked for hospice. Because I'm afraid I'd keep a joint in my back pocket.
Yeah, for somebody. Yes.
Exactly. Because, yes. You know, there's people that's going through so much pain with cancer and other things. And you know that, hey, just take a hit or two and you're going to be feeling okay. And you're not going to have that pain.
Yeah.
So now here I am going to get hated by everybody for giving somebody drugs that really needs it. So
it's tough.
Man, one of these days we're going to get kicked off the show.
We are, yes.
The city of Coleman is going to come in here and tell Jay Fuller, you need to get them two guys off the radio.
They're nuts. Hey, we're just telling the truth. And you know, you think this client, I mean, she left satisfied. She wasn't mad at me today, but this client had come talk to me about, when she come in, she probably thought I was going to say, oh yeah, don't worry, we're going to sue them, we're going to get all your property back and everything else. But when I broke it down and told her the truth about stuff and told her how things are and consider this and consider that, I mean, she was disappointed. There's no doubt she was disappointed about it. But you know, I guess I could have lied to her, which I'm not going to, but I could have lied to her and said, hey, give me all this money and we're going to do this stuff for you. She didn't have the money anyway, right. But I could have took the money and left her with a false hope when I know in the end she ain't going to get anywhere with her case.
Yep.
You know, and the other thing I told her, this, which I didn't say this, but I did tell her, I said, you know, you could file a lawsuit against any one of these people. I said, I just want you to understand this. You can file a lawsuit against any one of these people about property they took and whatever else. All they got to do is go file bankruptcy. But, you know.
There you go.
I just thought, Mingo, I should have told her she could, this person, go see the real deal, Josh O'Neill.
The real deal, Josh O'Neill.
And it, my, and our case would go to bloomp, like, real fast. Because it stopped. Once they file bankruptcy, it's done, you know. Yep. So, and I tell, you know, another thing, I mean, go back. Boy, we went from evictions to drugs to marijuana and drug addicts, and now we're back to evictions. But you know, in any civil suit, I always tell people, I said, you got to understand this. And this is it's important, insurance, you know, make sure they have insurance and everything else. But, you know, when you go sue someone or whatever else, I told her, I said, if you file a lawsuit and these people get served, which we got to figure out where they're to serve them, they get served, and we go over there, and they don't show up for court, and you get a default judgment, and the judge says, hey, here's your $10,000. Sorry all this happened to you. Good luck. I said, you're going to have a piece of paper that says they owe you $10,000. How are you going to get it? I said, does this person work? She says, probably not or no.
There you go.
I said, does this person have a bank account? I don't know. I said, so we're going to have to – this person didn't show up for court. We don't know where they live. We don't know where they bank. We don't know if they work. I said, then you're going to have to try. You spent this money to get a piece of paper that you're not going to get anywhere with. You're going to have to figure out how to collect the money judgment. And I said, if they work or if they have a bank account, and if you're lucky enough to figure it out and file the garnishment, then I said, then they can just go file a bankruptcy. I said, if you get a big judgment, they can go file bankruptcy, and bankruptcy judge is going to discharge it. And I said, you can get nowhere. So, so there's a lot to it when you want to go file lawsuits. Exactly. You know, against somebody, and this, and I mean, I hate it. I hate it for the person, but you know, unfortunately, she got herself in a situation when she went to jail, and landlord, I don't know, somebody took advantage of it,
Got
her property, but that may be the only way they're going to get paid for the money. There's
that's it. Well, look, I've had a good time tonight. I guess you're leaving out Saturday, going to the beach. So you're going to be out for a few days?
I'll be out until the following Saturday, so I guess we're going to have to find somebody coming in here.
Look, Big D is going to find somebody to bring in next Tuesday. Actually, one of the guys that I go to church with, we seen last night. What's his name? I'm sorry, I forgot. I told you I got a bad memory.
Mr. Hayes.
Haynes.
Yeah.
Haynes.
Sorry, I was thinking about my case in my head, and I was thinking about looking at
Michael Haynes.
Yes. Or we'll see if Blake West is doing anything. Because I know he's not going to be at the Downtown Grill. He only goes there on Thursday nights for 50 Cent Wings.
Blake and Mike Haynes, I don't even know what Tommy's doing next week.
I miss Tommy, man. He hasn't been around.
Boy, he's... Yes, he is. We've been all busy and everything we do. So, yeah, he's busy too. I ain't talked to him much. I just miss passing in court, and usually I talk to him daily, but...
So, look, Danielle, why don't we bring in about three attorneys, and I'll just
grind have fun
all
them.
Yeah, I'll have fun with all three of them.
See what they are. Hey, see if they're chicken, what they going to say about marijuana and drugs.
Exactly.
I'd like to know what they say about it, too.
I may do it, because I will say anything on the radio. You know why? Because it's my right. It's my constitutional right to say what I want. And these brave men and women out here in the military gives me that right.
Absolutely.
God bless each and every one of them. So we will catch you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. with several attorneys from Coleman in here. And you can catch me again and Danielle on the Big D Radio Show. Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. we'll have probably Pastor Bobby Hill in and several other guests.
You going to ask Pastor Bobby what he thinks about marijuana?
I may do it.
Hey, I wonder if there's some scriptures and stuff about drugs and stuff in the Bible. I can't remember. There may be some. You know, there's things talk about drunkenness, and that'd be a good question to ask him about drugs.
I think I will. I'll see what he says. That would be a good thing to hear his response.
I have to be listening for that one.
Yes. Well, I hope you have a good time on your vacation.
I will.
carry plenty of sunscreen and don't let the kids get sunburnt and taken to the ER like most people do.
And that's all and pale skin. Have her open wounds covered so we don't get flesh-eating bacteria.
Exactly. This is Big D for Melvin Hastings, Coleman Attorney. This is Understanding the Law. We'll catch you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. God bless you, and God bless America.